thank you.
Ich weiß nicht, wie es euch geht.
I don't know how you feel.
Mein Herz,
my heart is rejoicing
über die Gnade und die Treue Gottes,
over the grace
über
and
sein
mercies
Wort.
Of God, about his
Wir
word.
Gesungen, We have sung, ist er nicht wunderbar?
Isn't he wonderful?
Ja, er yes. hat zu uns geredet,
he spoke to us, brothers and sisters, and he revealed himself to
und
us.
Hat einen herrlichen Heilsplan mit uns.
And he has a wonderful
wir
plan
sind
with us.
Ein Teil dessen,
we are a part of
so
it.
Froh,
and we are so glad that very soon we will see
und
him. And also tonight we have come to this place in great expectation that the Lord will bless us richly from the riches of his grace. For the word of introduction, I would like to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And afterward, Brother Alfred Borg will pray with us. Let us stand up for it. Revelation chapter 1, the first three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to can be here tonight. And we ask you, come into our midst and bless us from the riches of your grace. We thank you for the wonderful songs which we have heard, which we have sung. We thank you for your precious word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that tonight we can count with your blessing. Give the anointing and the leading of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Bless our brother, Lord. Send your word and make all things well. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thou art worthy. Let us sing. Be seated. Today, we will be short with the introduction. And nevertheless, I would like to welcome all of you. And I hope that all are feeling at home, especially all those who cannot understand our language, that they nevertheless, by the translation, they can have part in everything and that they can thank the Lord. If you would like to understand me correctly tonight, then please look at this bulk of emails and of the greetings which were sent from all over the world. If I would like to read all of them, then I guess it would take me half an hour. We are grateful to God with all our hearts, and all our brothers who have written from all over the world, who have written, who are joined with us and joined with the Lord, they shall know that we appreciate it, that we really appreciate that what God has appointed for His people for this time, that they believe it, that they receive it, and that they are blessed. So, today, I will not mention the names of them and also not the places, because it really happened, that two or three I did not mention, and then there was a big problem. So, may all be blessed, especially, of course, in Africa, from east to south, via Central up to West Africa, may all be blessed. In fact, in all nations and tongues. Then we have special greetings from Brother Wallström, Brother Graf, Brother Etienne Genton, and many others also phoned. The names I didn't note down, but they know that we appreciate it and that we take note of it. Then today we have visit from England, 17 brothers and sisters. They have come from London, from Manchester, from Birmingham. May God bless them in particular. Then from Italy, Brother Gerlando and Brother Forestieri and Brother Trapani, and who you are, may the Lord God bless you and may He be with you. Then we have greetings which Brother Schmidt passed on from the Ural, from the Ukraine, from Russia, from Grodno. And also for that, we are grateful that all can listen, that all are connected, and that all are blessed by the blessed and precious and holy word which God revealed unto us by His grace, by the Holy Spirit. But firstly, the preaching must come so that God can reveal it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Just briefly, we will deal with Israel and with that, what goes on there at the moment, and also with that, what happens in our country, in the big churches, in the two big churches. The most important personalities from the politics and in the churches, they have signed now under a document, let it be finished with the church separations. There's only one thing in the program, namely 500 years of separation of the churches are enough. This came in the Lutheran news, in the confession of the Lutheran Church. And then if one reads names which have a high reputation, we notice it is so far now. The wound by the sword is healed. And all who remained in the Babylonian captivity, they will return into the bosom of the mother, as it is written in Revelation chapter 17. The scripture is being fulfilled really before our very eyes. On the other hand, we may appreciate it beyond measure that we have heard the calling out, that we obeyed it, that God has given us the grace also to take Revelation 18 seriously. Come out, my people, so that you don't partake of her sins and of her judgments. The calling out in this time is the most important period in all of the plan of salvation. Then we have that with Israel. And brothers and sisters, we all noticed it. What happened since the Oslo Agreement? And some things are happening behind closed doors, where even the Knesset was not informed. Pages after pages are reported what kind of negotiations are going on, what kind of things are negotiated between the Vatican and between Israel, what kind of claims are made on Mount Zion and some other buildings and some other sites. Brothers and sisters, and then time and again, the emphasis that Jerusalem must be internationalized, and that the rulership belongs to him whom all the world respects. And we really notice that the time has come very near now. And when it is about peace negotiations, then it's not about Berlin or about the uniting of Germany or uniting of Europe. Then it's really about Israel, about Jerusalem, about the Middle East. And we really see that all things are coming to fulfillment, and Jerusalem will become a stumbling block for all nations, as written in the prophet Zechariah. And we really notice that the time has come very near. And I say it once again, and then we come to the word. It's not about the peace in Washington or the peace in Moscow or somewhere. Everything is focused on one place, on one country, on one city. And this city which God has chosen, the Mount Zion which God has chosen, that's what's all about now. And there now, let us just thank God for it, that God is watching over it, that God's people find grace in his sight. And when all have done their part, then God will do His part. For me, brothers and sisters, and also worldwide, all who are connected, it's just wonderful, powerful, that God has revealed to us the word of prophecy by His grace. That really, by the prophetic ministry in our time, we were introduced into the plan of salvation of our God. And the things which are happening now, by God's help, we can place them correctly. And thereby we see how far the time is spent. All of us, most of us remember what happened 50 years ago in March 1963. There was the opening of the seven seals. And I would like to read from the first seal just a couple of passages, and then from the last seal. In the first seal, preached on the 18th of March 1963, Brother Branham says in Hebrews, chapter 4, it says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This man is not a reformer. It's a revealer of the mysteries of God. He reveals what was hidden. Where is the church? How did she continue? How will be the word of God? And who will finally appear with the word of God, and who will reveal it? For he must turn the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers. The original biblical faith will be restored by the seventh church angel. Oh, I love it. All the mysteries of the seals, which the reformers didn't understand completely, they will be revealed. Now, just notice. Just for a moment, notice Malachi 3, notice Malachi 4, verse 5. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Write down this scripture. He is a prophet, and he restores the original faith of the fathers. We are waiting for it, that this man comes on the scene. He will be so simple that millions will miss it. And only a small group will receive it. Remember, at that time, when John should come, there it was prophesied that before the coming of Christ, the voice would cry in the wilderness. Malachi saw him. Behold, in the third chapter, verse 1, There the coming of the Elijah is described, who would forerun the first coming of Christ. You say, I'm not sure of it, Brother Branham. It can be verse 23. I must correct you. Jesus said that it is Malachi 3 verse 1. Read it. Read it in Matthew 11 from verse 10. There the Lord said, if you can grasp it, and he said, he spoke of John, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And then read Malachi 3 verse 11. Some people try it. Try to apply it to Malachi 4 verse 5. No, this is not right. Take note in Malachi 4 verse 5 and 6. Afterward, after disappearing of this prophet, this world will be burned completely. And the righteous will step upon the ashes of the godless. They will walk into the millennium. If you look at the book of Revelation, then you see what the messenger should do at the end of this age. Then you will recognize it. He must be a prophet. He must deal with the things which the reformers didn't see it. And he must place it biblically. How can Matthew 28:19 be connected with Acts 2, verse 38? How can it be? How can it be in agreement without the revelation about it? You see, the prophet from Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6 should restore the original faith of the fathers. In the end time, this will happen. And then the prayer at the end of the seventh seal, preached on the 24th of March, 1963. I pray that you may help our precious brother Neville. Lord, fill him with grace and with strength and give him understanding so that he can give out the stored in food for the lambs. Keep away sickness from him, Lord. May it happen, Lord, if the people get still sick, that they remember the blood of Jesus Christ, which is sufficient and which lays on the altar still. I pray that they are healed instantly. keep away the power of Satan. Which wants to discourage them. Keep the power of Satan away. Which discourages them. Or which tells them that they have fallen prey to a cult. Keep away all the powers of the enemy and sanctify us by your word. Grant it to us, Lord. Then I also pray, Lord, that you may help me. I get weaker and weaker, and I know that my days are counted. Therefore, I ask for your help. Let me be faithful and honest and sincere, Lord, so that I am able to carry the message so far as it is ordained for me. And when the time comes, and when I have to go, Lord, when I come to the river, Lord, when the waves are breaking in, Lord, may I then give this sword to someone who is honest and who carries the truth. All of us know, of course, that the Lord has sent his servants and prophets at all times. And whenever something extraordinary should take place and also happened, then God had his servants and he revealed to them what should take place. And he who reads precisely will find out that always promises were fulfilled when something special happened. We heard it already by Brother Branham, and I would like to read these places together. John was not just someone. He was a man sent from God, commissioned by the living God. The Lord himself said, "Behold, I send my messenger before me." At the latest, with this verse, everybody should know who it was whom John was forerunning. The Lord in the Old Testament, as the Yahweh, as the I Am, he spoke it. "Behold, I send my messenger before my face, that he should prepare the way before me." It's just so powerful if one takes the Old Testament to it, and if one lets the Old Testament also speak to oneself, and then following the trace from the announcement up to the fulfillment of what the Lord God has said. Now, briefly, we will underline it. In our time, God fulfilled his word. And he fulfilled the promise. "Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Before the sun turns into darkness. And before the sun turns into blood. At the end of the time of grace, God has sent his servant. And as we were reading it, to bring us back to the beginning, to turn the hearts of the children of God back to the faith of the fathers at the beginning. So, the message of the hour is back to the Word. And if we now look it up, to just say it clearly, Brother Branham, he mentioned already Matthew 11, but so that all might know that God does all things according to His Word, and that everything is checkable, that we can read up everything, and that we have at least two or three or more scriptures where it is being confirmed that it has come to fulfillment what was announced before. Here, in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 11, we have, of course, the verses from verse 9, Matthew 11 from verse 9, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. One can read it up in Luke 7, verse 27. And here in verse 13, we read on, verse 13, in Matthew 11. Firstly, in the same chapter, verse 11, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And then comes the powerful. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were unto John, and from that time on, the kingdom of God was proclaimed. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. One could read it up, what is written in Genesis 32, when Jacob wrestled with God, and when he cried out, I don't let you go, except thou bless me. Brothers and sisters, a conversion is not experienced in a dream or half asleep. That you enter the narrow gate. A conversion is a wrestling until one broke through, until one got the assurance of being saved, being assured to have become a child of God. Then it continues, verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So, he was a promised prophet. As as our beloved Lord was the promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer, right? Promised from Genesis 3 up to the last promise, which all have been fulfilled. So, both was promised. The Messiah and the preparer of the way. And the same applies for our time. But let us read now a bit concerning the ministry of John the Baptist. Firstly, from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. So that you understand it in the right connection. Luke chapter 1. Here we read from verse 15. Luke 1 from verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And listen closely now. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And now we will read how this happened in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we have the sermon of John the Baptist. And that what he said, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Did you listen closely? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. May we read it again? John speaks to them whom he baptized in water for repentance. And he says to them directly in the commission, by the commission of God, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me will baptize you. Not someone, he will baptize you, who you are now hearing the message, who you are now baptized, who you are obedient, you who have been led back to God, you are the people prepared for the Lord. You who you believe the message, and you who were baptized, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The baptism preceded the Spirit baptism. With this, we go straight to the book of Acts, chapter 2, so that you know that the ministry of John the Baptist was not in vain, but that a people was there when our Lord baptized for the first time on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here we have it in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So, there was a people prepared, separated from all religious business in their time. They believed the message which was addressed to them. And here, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Lord God confirmed that all who were present, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But not only that, but the first 3,000 who were added, who listened to them, the promise was given directly. We can read on here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he who reads verse 41 will find out that here it is written, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What shall be emphasized by this? What shall be emphasized by this? When God gives a promise, Behold, I send my messenger before me. And when it is written of him that by his ministry a people is being prepared for the Lord, and if then the man of God says, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me is mightier. He was before me than I. He's mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Brothers and sisters, we could read all the scriptures up to Matthew 17. We could read where the Lord and how he confirmed his word. But the question is, of what it is about today? What is the promise which the Lord has given to us? We have it here. We mentioned it here recently. The main promise of our Lord is, of course, written in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to receive you unto myself, so that you are there where I am also. But in connection with the realization of this promise, God, of course, said that a prophet like Elijah will come and will restore all things. And brothers and sisters, as sure, as all heard the message at the beginning of the New Covenant, have heard the message, and who were baptized, and that to prove what this man preached unto them. The same it is now. One cannot bypass what God promised today, and then thinking to be right. And we read these scriptures many times, and especially in the Gospel of Matthew, verse 17. After the ministry of John the Baptist, our Lord said very clearly, Matthew 17, let us read it, Matthew 17, verse 10 and 11. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. This is the promise which the Lord confirmed in the New Testament. After the ministry of John the Baptist, he confirmed it. And he gave as an answer to us, verily I say unto you, Elijah comes first, shall first come, and restore all things. Didn't we emphasize it many times? As Elijah took the 12 stones according to the tribes of Israel, rebuilding the altar, sacrificing there, pouring water upon it, then coming before God saying, let it be known today that you are the true God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I did all this according to thy word. In the same way, Brother Branham restored the doctrine of the Godhead. He just put it anew onto the candlestick. Not three eternal who agree. No, one eternal, one true living God from eternity to eternity. And this one true living God revealed himself to us at the beginning of the New Testament as Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on the earth, and in the church by the Holy Spirit. God above us, God with us, and God in us. Various revelations of the one God to fulfill his own plan of salvation. and according to Galatians 4, to give us the adoption of sons. And all this happened by His grace. I mentioned it in March. It will be 50 years since the opening of the seals, since the time when Brother Branham went into doctrinal things, when he not only preached in the evangelistic way, not only praying for the sick, but when he the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Word and of the will of God. And so we see what happened. God really, everything what had to be revealed, this He has revealed. And no man needs to take care and to worry about. Also not about Revelation 10. No one needs to worry about it. With God, everything is in order. We just have to place ourselves into the divine order. But also this, what happened 80 years ago, and the time was really was spent very fast. On the 11th of June, 1933, the supernatural experience that the Lord revealed Himself in the supernatural cloud of light. He came down, and then really with a thundering voice, He spoke. He said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And probably you can understand it. All these years have passed. And also for me, it's almost 80 years. At least it's 50 years ago. And all the years have come and gone. And most of the believers, they are in the expectation that the Lord returns, that He should have come already a long time ago. But can He come again before the last one has been called out? Just look in our rows. Just look into all the world. The Lord is still calling. And if I would ask today, how many were called last year? There would, a couple of hands would go up. A couple of hands would go up. But with this, I just want to express we know of what God did. And we just have to pass it on. Namely, as we heard it, what Brother said in the first seal, today it's about that we return to the true, original, living faith, and that all who are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that a Pentecost may come, that the Holy Spirit comes down. We have the right to it. John already said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Please receive it. Please accept it and say, Beloved Lord, it belongs to the restoration that you are baptizing us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That you are having a place where you can reveal yourself. So, the Lord has taken his messenger, but the message was left to us. And we may confess in the presence of God, we can testify that we placed everything biblically, that we interpreted nothing, but that we respected God's word in all things, and that we leave everything up to him, that he will make the end. People are having their opinions, and some opinions are sounding like a blasphemy. For instance, that the doctrine that the seven spirits of God will be seven special men, and then even the next point, and that these seven men will then sound forth the seven thunders. Who can understand such things of what was made with the statements of Brother Branham by not going back to the scriptures? The seven spirits of God are the seven spirits of God, and the seven messengers to the seven churches were the seven messengers to the seven churches, and the seven vials are the seven vials, and the seven trumpet angels are the seven trumpet angels. Let us leave everything there where it belongs, and then it will be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Let us summarize what we are trying to say today and tomorrow. All who believe now the promise that God, before the return of Jesus Christ, once will restore all things. He has to restore it. All who respect God's promise, which belongs to the promise, I go to prepare the place for you, and I will come again. This is the main promise. But the promise which is connected with it is, of course, the promise that the message would forerun the second coming of Christ. That the hearts of the children of God are restored back to the origin, back to the beginning, as in the days of John the Baptist. All who found grace in the sight of God, they were not listening to the scribes and Pharisees, but from all of Judea they were coming together. They went down to the river Jordan to hear the voice of him of whom it is written in Isaiah 40, a voice cries in the wilderness. They didn't follow and running after man. He who believed the message of John the Baptist, he believed God, who said, Behold, I send my messenger before my face. We of course don't believe Paul, or we don't believe in Paul, or we don't believe in Brother Branham. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. But we respect what the Lord promised. Also, about this we will speak. As many times before, the children of promise believe the word of promise. They receive, they accept what the Lord God has said. Let us summarize it. In our time, many things are going on. As I mentioned already, the uniting of all religions, the uniting of all Christian denominations in the ecumenism, all over, uniting. And behold, they even refer to John 17, that they all may be one. Even the scripture is being used. But by the grace of God, we recognized that God is not in a uniting which has no relationship to Him. No. It's a called out flock. Ye, my people, come out, be ye separated, do not touch any unclean thing. Then I will receive you, and then you shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. So, he who believed then, hearkened to that, what God had to say. He received the messenger of God without opposition. He went into the river Jordan. He was baptized. And right then, they received the promise, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you. The emphasis is, He shall baptize you. You who you believe me, you who you are obedient, you who you are baptized, you who you have separated, and all you who suffered all criticism, and you who you are walking on the way of the Lord, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Brothers and sisters, that's what we are waiting for as believers who have heard the last call. We don't belong to them who now in March are expecting something special. There are always groups who will come together in March. They will go there to the canyon, Sabino Canyon, there where the revelation was given when Brother Branham received the instruction that the seven seals would be opened. We don't have to make any pilgrimage. We don't have to appoint any time. But we should recognize the message and our day which the Lord has given to us. And I really think that all we who are gathered here, also all those who are here for the first time, that they just understand here it's not about a religious entertainment. Here it is about that God's holy word is being proclaimed, that we are joined with God, that the promises which He has given to us, that they are put upon the lampstand. And thereby we recognize, as we have sung in the song, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. What did Brother Branham say? The original sin is unbelief. Unbelief. Just not believing what God said. Doubting it. And by this, nourish the unbelief. Brother Branham, really he emphasized it. The original sin is unbelief. And the enemy always comes to sow doubts. Is it really like this? Yes, it is like this. Not a march is being celebrated here. No. That what God revealed by His grace, this is being passed on so that all who are of God, that they are being taught by God, and that we become one heart and one soul by His grace. Please, at this weekend, it's just about the main subject, the return of Jesus Christ, which was promised, and the promise which has to come to fulfillment before that, and which is still going on until the trumpet sounds and the Lord can return to take His own home. I believe out of conviction, and I say it in the presence of God, we are having part in that what God promised. We received it. We have heard the last call. We let ourselves be corrected in all points, be the Godhead, the baptism, whatever the subject or the doctrine was. All of us, we let ourselves be corrected. We didn't mix anything. No. We have been separated. And we didn't take any leaven into it. But as Paul has written, we have become a new lump. We have become a lump of sincerity and of truth. And the Church of Jesus Christ is today as she was at the beginning, according to 1 Timothy 3:15, she is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Only the Word of God, not a single interpretation, but only what God has said in His Word. This is being believed, and this is being preached. So, the two promises, the one promise of the return, the return of our Lord, and which goes before that. Because the message is still going forth worldwide. And also today, many are connected worldwide. And all who are listening and all who are watching, all of them shall know, they all shall know, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have put the word of prophecy unto the lampstand, and by grace we got it revealed. We are coming together, hearing the word of God. All of us, we understood what's it all about. What is it all about today? And I think that no one of Nizza or no one of Romania or no one would come from far to just hear a sermon. We have the right, according to the Word of God, we have the right to have been put up to date in the kingdom of God. And it's really our task. And it's also our responsibility before the Lord that we preach and carry on the message crystal clear. And all who are newly added, all who didn't make yet a direct experience of salvation with the Lord, dear friends, just receive it, that God was in Christ. God is Spirit, and He revealed Himself in Christ, in the flesh. And by this it was fulfilled. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. Please believe it and receive it. Your sin, your guilt, all your transgressions, He has taken it upon Himself. This was the main message which John the Baptist preached. Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This was the kernel of the message of the gospel. The Lamb which carrieth away the sins of the world. And then the Lamb of God was crucified, has shed its blood, and has given us the full forgiveness. I noted it down here. The elect of God, they really, they received a complete forgiveness by God. No one needs to accuse. No one needs to condemn. But just receiving and accepting what God has given to us. The full redemption He has given us in Christ Jesus by His grace. And we are preaching the full salvation, and by grace we may also experience it. Everything what was given to us, this is ours. Please receive it. Believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and then it's fulfilled. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on His name. Believe today. Believe today. As Peter said it in the first sermon, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me say it once again. As it was at the first coming of Christ, as there was a prophetic period, and that what the Lord announced and what He promised, as it was also fulfilled, and all who were pardoned by God, they went to hear the message and the messenger, to find grace before God. The same it is in our time. The promise of the return and the promise of that what has to take place before the return of the Lord. And as then of John the Baptist was written that he would prepare the people for the Lord, so it must also take place now. So Paul has written it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he wants to present to Christ a chaste virgin. And if we are joined with the bridegroom, brothers and sisters, say it honestly, say it. Who wants that his bride is fornicating with other men? Everything would be finished. And therefore, please, no spiritual fornication. Just believing God's word with all your heart. Not breaking the covenant with the Lord. The Lord said it. I will betroth me unto you in righteousness and in truth for eternity. The bride of the Lamb will not commit spiritual fornication. She has given the promise to the bridegroom and she's waiting that she's being taken home so that the marriage and the marriage supper can take place. So let us remain in the grace. Let us remain in the word. Let us remain in the love to by this experience our preparation and then also the completion by his grace. Can you believe that we found grace in the sight of God? Can you believe that God accepted and received us? That it is his word which was addressed to us? Really, the last message before the return of Jesus Christ. To just emphasize it once again. 1933. Since 1933, many years passed. Many years have come and have gone. And as I said before, most surely we would like it better that the Lord would have come already. Some things we wouldn't have to go through. But please believe me. The Lord is not too late. He will never be too late. When the time was fulfilled, and in the same way, it is now. Years are coming and going. And as Peter has written, the Lord is not slack with his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering because he doesn't want that some who are ordained and elected that they perish, but that the last ones are being called. I believe it out of conviction that the last message will forerun the return of Jesus Christ, and that all who are ordained for eternal life and all who are ordained to be part of the bride of Christ, that they don't confer with flesh and blood anymore, but that they believe with all their hearts that they receive it. Once again, the emphasis which the Lord made in the Old Testament. The Lord our God, behold, I send my messenger before my face. He shall prepare my way before me. Jesus Christ is the Lord. There's only one Lord. And the one Lord is God. And God is the Lord, and the Lord is God. Revealed. We are just grateful with all our hearts that we may believe as the scripture has said it. To him, the ever faithful God, be the praise and the honor and the adoration that he remembered his word, that he fulfilled his promise, that he, in this last period, that he has sent a prophetic word, all the teaching he has given. And we may hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Now just briefly, in closing, the three verses from Revelation chapter 1. Who hear and keep those things which are written therein, not what is being interpreted into it, no, as it is written, and what is written. Revelation chapter 1. Also here, shall we take it to heart still? Here we have it written, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Behold, I send my messenger before me. By the sending of his angels, John received the revelation. And for the one purpose, to pass on what was given to him. Verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. We have the 22 chapters. We dealt with them in a book. And all who need an overall view, in a short view, they can read it. Now, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. This could be said 2,000 years ago. For the time is at hand. What shall we say today? The time is at hand. The time is very, very near. The return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is very near at the door. To Him, the Almighty God, who brings His plan of salvation to fulfillment, in whom we can have part in it. To Him be the thanks that He has drawn our attention to that what He is doing in our time. Please remember, just think of it briefly, how many Pentecostal brothers, Pentecostal sisters are bypassing what God said, bypassing what God promised, bypassing what God is doing, celebrating their feasts, and are bypassing it, what God is doing right now. Thereby, we on one hand see that they didn't find grace in the sight of God yet, because he who really finds grace in the sight of God, him he lets his ways be known. Also his way with the church in this time. I, for my part, I'm grateful to God for the great privilege which He has given to me to know and pass on what He promised and what He is doing in our time. To our Lord be the honor for everything, also for the looking into His Word tonight. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Let us sing the chorus, "Just as I am." If some were spoken to, and if some have heard the call and are part of the flock which wants to be ready, which will be ready at the return of the Lord, please take it to heart today, if you hear His voice, if you hear His invitation, come, enter the narrow gate unto the way, unto the straight way which leads to life. Loosen yourself from the world, from all destruction which the world brings you. As our Lord said, "Ye are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." And He was praying that we remain kept, that we are kept in the spiritual realm, not being influenced by all the various things which are going on now, with the uniting here and uniting there. No, that we are joined with Jesus Christ, our Savior, being joined with Him and joined with one another, being one heart and one soul. Do we have some who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord? Just raise your hand briefly, that I can pray for you. Thank you. There are some. May the Lord bless you. May He bless from the riches of His grace. Truly, the last ones are being added. No one knows when the last one will enter. But as a songwriter sings, it could be for the last time. It could be the last time. Because Jesus calls you, please let Him enter. It could be the last time. The best would be if we would obey the call when we hear it, and that we don't postpone it for tomorrow. Let us sing it once again, "Just as I am." because it is being translated, therefore we will not call to the front. We all want that all are hearing, that all can make their decision. And we will pray for one another, and we will believe that the faithful Lord will manifest His love in all who receive Him, all who accept Him. They may see the glory of God. It's the call of God which is addressed to us. We heard it, and we are answering to it. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we say thank you with all our hearts that you pardoned us, that you are still calling, that it's still the time of grace, and that all can come. We thank you for your revealed word, for your revealed will. We thank you for the last message which is carried out into all the world, crystal clear. Bless together with us all your people worldwide. Bless all who are joining us online. And may this year be a year of jubilee. May it be a year of blessing by your grace. O God of heaven, bless beyond asking and beyond understanding. Save, heal, deliver, and confirm thy precious and holy word. To you we say thanks from the bottom of our hearts and with all our souls. Dear Lord, I pray you, give each brother, each sister, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation by your Holy Spirit. Give us all the full experience of salvation with water baptism, with spirit baptism, with the restoration of all that what was at the beginning. All the ministries, all the gifts, the power of God shall be manifested. And it will be manifested. Bless in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Bless all who are connected online. May all understand everything correctly. Open our understanding for the scripture, for the fulfillment, and be merciful to us so that we have part in that what you are doing right now. I thank you with all my heart that you have given me the privilege to know what you promised and what you did and what you confirmed and what you are doing right now. We pray together for all the newcomers. Give grace. Give revelation. May the last ones come to the same level as we are, who we could be part of it from the beginning. Oh God, with you all things are possible, and it will be fulfilled that to you, the bridegroom of our souls, to you will be presented a chaste bride, as it was then, so it will be now. And his bride has made herself ready, and she was clothed in white linen, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sealed with the Holy Ghost unto the day of our bodily redemption. Great God, once again I thank you with all my heart for all my brothers, for all my sisters, for all whom you called already, and for all whom you are still calling. To you, the Almighty God, to the only true God, be the honor and the praise. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. This is our day. Let us sing. This is the... I love him. I love him. Ask Brother Schmidt to pray with us. Great God, to you alone be the honor and the praise and the thanks. In Christ Jesus our Lord, Lord, today you have shown us your word. My God, we recognize that besides you and your word, there's nothing on this world. You alone, you are the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. You are the only one. Give us grace, Lord, that your word, which spoke to us, we thank you that it's not only a testimony, but it really brought us life. To you be the praise and the honor. Please, God, Lord, if there's still a tomorrow, give us grace, Lord, to prepare our hearts to receive what you have to say. Give us grace When we leave this place, let us not speak, but let us ponder upon your word. Please, Lord, do it in all of us. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Closer at home. Amen.